Yes, Chair, we have apologies from Councillor Ranson, who's being served by Councillor Capleton.
Thank you very much. Item two, the minutes of the previous meeting. The committee is asked to confirm as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 22nd of August. Is it your wish that I do so?
Yeah, move it, Chair.
Thank you. We have no questions under committee procedure 12.8. Item 4, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Councillor Snart.
Madam Chair, thank you. Item 1, I've called this application in, therefore I have a personal prejudicial interest and will be speaking as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, we now move on. Councillor Forrest,
you apologise. Thank you, Madam Chair. Item one, the applicant, the person speaking on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Phil Rowland, is known to me in a professional capacity, although he did give me a pound coin for the supermarket trolley the other day. But I come to this with an open mind. I have not discussed this with him. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now move on to Councillor Lowe, do you have any disclosures of pecuniary? I think that's all right. I think everybody's been in the same boat tonight. We now move on to item 5, the planning applications, and if you'd like to turn to page 8 in your agenda pack, and I will ask the officers to present the case. Councillor Snart is withdrawing because he is a speaker and has declared an interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So the first item tonight is to do with the property called Longdale on Warren Hill, near Tanlingford, and it relates to the conversion of an agricultural building to a dwelling with extensions for store, porch and dormer windows. This is the application site, which is located on the northern side of the street. The property is a stone former agricultural building, which was used by livestock, but is known to have used, been used for stabling of horses prior to the late 1980s. Here is an aerial photo showing the location of the site in where the arrow is. To the southwest is the junction of Warren Hill with Benscliff Road and Sharpley Hill, and the entrance to the Hunts Hill or Old John car park is just beyond to the south. This is the current front elevation of the building, and you can see the former openings and the retained glazed panels and the existing sloping Swithland slate roof and the dormer windows on the front. The photograph to the right shows the store to the side of the building, which is to be removed and replaced with a new extension of a similar footprint. You can also see that the roadway is at a significantly elevated level in relation to the floor level of the building, as we saw on site this afternoon. These are photos of the rear of the building, and you can see the existing windows, again, the dormer window in the rear elevation and the Swithland slate roof. The proposed curtilage to the proposed dwelling has already been defined with the post and rail fence, and the area has been slightly regraded and turfed. There's a bit on the screen about the legislative background to the application, which is set out in the officer report. So the proposal includes the conversion of the building to a dwelling, and the principle of the change of use has already twice been accepted under the prior notification procedure as set out in the officer report. Essentially, the applicant has twice confirmed that the conversion of the building to a dwelling is permitted development under the very specific criteria of the legislation. The conversion of the existing building could go ahead under these extant decisions, and the principle of the conversion to a dwelling is therefore acceptable based on the existing building footprint. Speakers this evening will no doubt question the principle of a dwelling in this location and refer to 30-year-old refusals of planning permission in the open countryside. But legislation makes it clear that the conversion of the existing building is permitted development and could be implemented tomorrow, subject to building reg approval. However, the applicant wishes to undertake small extensions to the building, and as these increase the footprint, because the store would be removed, so it's adding on new footprint, and also extend the roof windows, these changes aren't permissible under the permitted development prior notification procedure, and the works therefore require planning permission. The local planning authority is therefore afforded the opportunity to assess the physical changes to the building in terms of their design and acceptability, as is the case in any household or application. The various elements of the proposal are set out in the officer report on page 10 of your agenda. So the above images are of the existing and proposed front and rear elevations, showing the proposed fenestration, alterations to the and the new dormer window to replace the sloping roof dormer. Windows are to be powder coated in a heritage matte olive green colour, with the Swithland slate roofing material being retained. Conservation style roof lights are proposed to the front elevation and two on the rear. And you can see the proposed timber clad store extension to the side of the building, which would be built off the existing floor level. These are the existing and proposed side elevations, with the images on the left showing the elevation facing the road and the new store here with the pitched roof and the timber cladded sides, and those on the right being the proposed elevation which would face onto the fields and takes advantages of the views across the valley. These are the existing and proposed floor plans. You can see that the proposed store to the side of the building has a slightly smaller footprint than the existing store, and that the porch extension to the front is fairly modest. You will also note that the two bedrooms are proposed to be created on the ground floor, with the kitchen and principal living area located on the first floor and within the roof space. This is with the purpose of taking advantage of the rural views out of that Juliet window that we saw on the elevation. It's important that members understand that all the internal and external conversion works are permitted development. The legislation and a body of case law explains that permitted development rights under the prior notification procedure include building operations which might affect the external appearance of the building, including the installation and replacement of windows, doors, partial demolition and rebuilding, roofs, exterior walls, water, drainage, electricity, gas, and other service connections, to the extent that they are reasonably required to enable the building to function as a dwelling. All these works can be undertaken as permitted development. So the key considerations this evening are the principle of the development, the design and impact on the countryside, highways and car parking. So I'll summarise each of these in turn, as the full assessments are set out in the agenda report. But the starting point for your deliberations this evening is that all planning applications must be decided in accordance with the adopted development plan, unless material considerations indicate otherwise. The relevant policies are as set out in the officer report. So the principle of development, we've seen that the site is in a rural and unsustainable location where new housing development would normally be resisted unless it was exceptionally justified to meet the essential housing needs of an agriculture, forestry or other land-based industry worker. However, we've also seen that national legislation effectively removes local authority control over the conversion of these former agricultural buildings to dwellings in specific cases, where the stringent legislative criteria are met. And this is the case here, and the principle of a dwelling is already established in this location by virtue of the two previous prior notifications decisions. The officer report explains on page 17 that decisions on applications should be made in accordance with the development plan unless material considerations indicate otherwise. And the works that I've described, which could be done as permitted development, is indeed a significant material consideration, which indicates the principles should be accepted contrary to normal restrictive policies. As the principle of the development of the dwelling in this area has been established to be acceptable, members should concentrate the assessment of the proposal on those elements of the scheme which require planning permission in their own right, e.g. the extensions. So in terms of the design and impact in the countryside, the scheme has been sympathetically designed to utilise existing window openings as far as possible, and the proposed dormer windows are considered to be appropriate in terms of their scale and design. Additional larger and less appropriate windows could be installed in the building elevations under permitted development, but the scheme provides the local planning authority with control over the detail and execution in accordance with the plans as may be approved here. Although reference will no doubt be made tonight about future potential alterations and additional domestic extensions or buildings which may follow in the future, such proposals aren't before members tonight, and your officer report recommends that if you decide to grant planning permission for the scheme, a condition removing permitted development rights for future alterations and extensions and outbuildings be imposed to, again, bring these elements under the scope of the local planning authority. And it's therefore considered that the modest additions to the building as set out on the plans and the officer report are acceptable in terms of their design and appearance and the use of materials, and would enhance the appearance and long-term maintenance of the attractive building within the Charnwood Forest. It's therefore considered that the proposal accords with policies CS2, CS11 and EV1. In terms of highways considerations, as you would have seen from the site visit today, there are no alterations proposed to the access, which has been used for agricultural vehicles for many years. The existing hard standing to the front of the building is ample to provide the required two car parking spaces to meet current adopted standards, and it's considered that the proposed conversion and extension works would result in a modest dwelling which would not result in severe residual cumulative impacts or harm the safe operation of the local highway network. The development is therefore considered to be acceptable in highway terms and would meet the requirements of the NPPF and policy TR18. I hope this has explained the issues and the significant material consideration of the applicant's fallback position. And for the reasons set out, it's recommended that planning permission is granted subject to the conditions outlined on pages 18 and 19 of your agenda.
Thank you very much. We now move on to the speakers, and we have three tonight, and Mr. Rowland on behalf of the applicant. Thank you very much for your message and for getting here. And also Ms. Shaw on behalf of the Parish Council, and Councillor David Snart, the ward councillor. I'd just like to explain the system and the timing. You each have 5 minutes. There is a traffic light system here. When it's green, you carry on. When it goes to amber, that means you've got a minute left. When it goes to red, I'm afraid I cut you off in full flow if necessary. So there's not too much disturbance. When it comes to you have 1 minute left to speak, you will hear, and then you know you've just got 1 minute left. So, Mr. Rowland, if you'd like to come and take your seat at the front, please. Thank you. I hope you understand the the speaking system. If you press the button when you wish to speak. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Philip Rowland of Landmark Planning in Leicester, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of the applicant. It's accepted that under the policies in the development plan, this application would not generally be acceptable unless there were other material planning considerations that outweigh the policies in the development plan. The application that is before you for determination is such a case. It's fully explained in your officer's report on pages 8 and 9 under background information that this building has permission to be converted to a dwelling under the prior notification procedure under the GPDO Part Q. The circumstances of the building will be converted to a dwelling, so the principle has already been accepted, and this is the fallback position, which is a material planning consideration in the determination of this application. The circumstances, therefore, when you take into consideration the fallback position, the development is not for the conversion of the building to a dwelling, but is in fact for a minor planning application for minor alterations and small extensions to the building that consist of the following: the replacement of an existing mono-pitched dormer windows with new dormer windows with a gabled roof design entirely in keeping with the local vernacular, and they actually are slightly smaller in volume than the existing dormers. The erection of a small extension to the side of the building as a store, constructed in oak boarding with a slate roof, entirely in keeping with the local vernacular. This replaces an existing store in the same position that is in a poor state of repair. The erection of a pitched roof canopy over the entrance door. This is an open-sided structure constructed in oak with a slate roof entirely in keeping with the local vernacular. I'm of the opinion that the proposed works are entirely in keeping with the building located in the Charnwood Forest, and this view is supported by your officers on page 17, paragraph 4 of the report, with the sentence, "It is considered the proposed alterations are acceptable and would enhance the appearance and long-term maintenance of this attractive building in the Charnwood Forest." In your officer reports, it's also stated the Parish Council is completely opposed to the proposed development, even though they acknowledge that the building has permission to be converted to a dwelling. The concerns raised by the Parish Council relate to setting a precedent for residential dwellings on this undeveloped side of Warren Hill. Two, the alterations to the building would completely change the visual impact of the building. And three, concerned about future development on this site, such as garaging or further extensions. I would comment on these matters raised by the Parish Council as follows. The granting of planning permission would not set a precedent for residential dwellings on this part of Warren Hill. Your development plan policies very strongly rule out such new development unless there are other such existing agricultural buildings that are capable of being converted on the GPDO as permitted development. Indeed, the matter of precedent is also covered in your officer report on page 17, paragraph 1. The alterations to the building that can already be undertaken under the terms of the prior approval application will change the appearance of the building over which there is now no control. I would agree with the advice of your officers that the proposed alterations to be undertaken under this application would actually enhance the appearance of the building. The erection of any further buildings, such as garaging, would need planning permission and therefore would have to be considered on their planning merits. In conclusion, the fallback position is a material planning consideration that provides a sound planning reason as to why this development is acceptable, notwithstanding the policies in the development plan. As there are no other material planning reasons to refuse planning permission for this application, I urge you to follow your officer's recommendation and to grant planning permission for the proposed development. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rowland. I call on Ms. Shaw, Hannah Shaw, on behalf of the Parish Council. Same principle, if you'd like to take a seat, and you understand the principle of the timing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Hannah Shaw, Parish Council Clerk, here on behalf of Newtown Linford Parish Council. Newtown Linford Parish Council has objected to the development of this building for many years. Previous applications for this site have been rejected, and it is only the change in government legislation regarding the development of agricultural buildings that has led to this reapplication. The site is on the undeveloped side of Warren Hill. Unspoilt open countryside commences from this road, and there is only one other dwelling within the triangle formed between Benscliff Road, John Moores Lane and Warren Hill, and this is located in the valley by the junction with Maple Well Road. When the original application for conversion from agricultural building to dwelling was submitted, Newtown Linford Parish Council expressed fears regarding the proposed conversion, including any increase in size of the footprint and in the nature of the building. Both these fears have been realised by this current application, which both seeks to increase the size of the dwelling with a porch and store, and the replacement of the modest fenestration with larger windows and a Juliet balcony. Together with the development of a garden within the curtilage, the appearance of the dwelling will thus be changed from a small, unobtrusive stable block to a residential development in an otherwise agricultural area, visible from the nearby footpaths and byways. Notwithstanding the guidance stated in the planning document that forbids any further buildings within the curtilage, granting this application potentially opens the door for future development of this and other sites within Charnwood Forest. This is not a development to provide accommodation for agricultural workers. It is a bid to develop a house in a totally new location, contrary to the existing policy within the Charnwood Forest area. It is within the remit of Charnwood Planning Committee to reject these alterations, and we request that this application be refused. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Shaw. Councillor Snart. Councillor Snart, you also obviously have 5 minutes, and you understand the timing procedure, I know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I need to bring this application to this committee. In my view, this could set a precedent in the type of conversion and extension. I am of the opinion that the Local Plans Committee should have the opportunity to look at new legislation and how it affects the landscape of Charnwood Forest, which has a special scenic quality and would be protected in all decisions made. I hope that this legislation will be also, and probably you'll take this aboard, Madam Chairman, in future planning training for members, because it is quite complex, and I think it would be worthwhile people knowing that. The new legislation, the prior notification procedure, is very specific in stating development is not permitted under Q1 of the legislation, when development would result in the external dimension of the building extending beyond the existing building at every given point. Q2E, the legislation states, whether the location or siting of the building makes otherwise impractical or undesirable for the building to change from agricultural use to the use falling within Class C. 3. I would like to draw your attention to the history of this site, not included in your committee report. A previous planning application was refused and dismissed on appeal. I believe this could be relevant in the decision-making process. In the refusal by the local planning authority, this authority, there is an acknowledgement that development is inappropriate to this location, and the additional building would signify detract from the special scenic quality of the landscape and the open rural character of this location. Turning to page 17 of the report, it is stated in summary, it is considered that the proposal, given the significant fallback position of the prior approval, would be in accordance with policies CS2, CS11 and EV1. Looking at these policies, they seem to be out of step with that statement. CS2 states development should respect and enhance the character of the area. Policy CS11 states requires new development to protect landscape and character and reinforce a sense of place. Paragraph 79 of the National Planning Policy Framework 2019 states that planning policies and decisions should avoid the development of isolated homes in the countryside. Given 5 circumstances, at least one or more should apply. In my view, this is not demonstrated that these policies are being complied with. It is just not me that has concerns. I note the Local Government Association planning spokesman said, Unless permitted development rules are scrapped, then communities face a risk of housing without any vital support in infrastructure and local services which residents need on a daily basis. Madam Chairman, in my view, with the history of this site and the comments I have alluded to previously, the local planning authority needs to give assurances that agreed to extending the external dimensions of this current building is not setting a precedent for future development of this type in the future, and certainly gives assurances that no further development will be permitted on this site. I note, in the previous refusal decision by the local planning authority, it was stated, if permitted, the proposal would set an unfortunate precedent, which the local planning authority would find difficult in resisting. This may be all placed before you today. I think that's worth repeating. I note, in this previous refusal decision by the local planning authority, it was stated, this is the local planning authority, if permitted, the proposal would set an unfortunate precedent, which the local planning authority would find it difficult in resisting. This may also be the case before you today. The detail in the prior notification procedure is quite specific. Therefore, it is my view the decision should be made in line with this procedure. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Snart. Before we move to the discussion, I'd like to ask the officers, if I may, for clarification, as I'm a little bit confused. On page 15, it refers to relevant planning history, which is 2017 and 2019, but both speakers have referred to previous planning applications, so I would be grateful, before we open the discussion, if one of the officers could explain that to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's always a debate about how far back and how relevant you consider the planning history of the site. The initial planning refusal was back in 1988, and the subsequent appeal to which Councillor Snart refers was 1989. As we've seen today, there's been a significant shift in legislation, which was specifically designed to significantly boost the amount of rural housing in the country. Having said that, the prior notification procedure is quite a rare occurrence in Charnwood, with less than a handful of prior notifications every year. So the amount to which it's been successful is debatable, but clearly this is one of those examples where they have taken advantage of the prior notification procedure, and it's been decided that the conversion to a dwelling would be permitted development under the legislation.
Thank you very much. I now open the meeting to discussion. We have two or three people, or four people, one wishing to speak at the moment. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question to the officers, if I may. It's a hypothetical, I appreciate. If permitted under permitted development, effectively, work goes ahead, converted. Is there anything to stop the applicant coming back in 12 months' time to then do these alterations?
Thank you. Well, as has been correctly said, the prior notification procedure does not allow for extensions in footprint or extensions beyond the slope of the existing roof. So they could convert it on the existing footprint and with the existing elevations, but not go beyond the plane of the roof or beyond the walls that are standing at today. But clearly there are advantages in improving and making it fit for habitation, and that's what's been included today.
I think just to continue to answer your question, if they lived in this house and they applied in the future, you'd be considering the extensions, if it was called in, as it would be a separate planning application in the future. The same as, obviously, there's a recommendation to remove permitted development rights. So if there was any alterations to the property in the future, again, that's, we can't say that there will never be an application, but it would fall for the local planning authority to determine whether that development should take place or not.
Thank you. I think the fact that in theory it's allowed under permitted development, there's a few enhancements or slight alterations to this. I personally don't have any objections. I propose that we go with offers of recommendations.
Thank you. So we have a proposal to accept officers' recommendation, and it has been seconded by Councillor Tillotson. I will now move to Tassel. Councillor Tassel. I now move, as you're the second speaker anyway in the debate, so if you'd like to say anything.
I think there was only two things you could do with this building, and that was either renovate it and make it livable or demolish it. I would hate to see it demolished because it is quite a substantial building. I won't say it's large, it's quite small, but it was adequate. And looking at the building across the road, which was massive, I honestly don't think that we could ever refuse planning permission on this. I don't think we would have the grounds to refuse planning permission. In fact, listening to what's been said about permitted development and everything else, really and truly, we are only passing the extension on the side and the porch. And the fact that that small building on the side is smaller than the one that's already there. So I don't think we've got a leg to stand on if we refuse it. So I go with, I second the proposal.
Thank you very much, Councillor Tassel. I move to Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, echoing what's already been said, I mean, I do work professionally. I have been involved with quite a few park queue planning applications. Some do get refused, so not everyone is passed. I think we do need to look at this as it is an extension, as the principal being converted to a dwelling has already been agreed. And if you look at it as a extension or alterations to a existing dwelling, there are fairly modest alterations, to be fair, that it's fairly well in keeping with what's there. Nothing much further to add other than other extensions have happened to other properties on Warren Hill in the past, and happy to go with the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Grimley. Now I do come to Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you. I'm not going to say what I was going to say because it's already been said. I'd support officer's recommendation for the reasons that the other three speakers have already said. Thank you.
Councillor Tassel, you wanted to come back briefly.
Yes. Can we actually put a condition on this that no further extensions be put on without planning permission?
Councillor.
Thank you.
It's already recommended. If you have a look, it's condition 4, and that stops any enlargement, improvement or alterations and structures within the curtilage, so it will catch everything.
I don't think we have any other... Councillor Capleton.
Now, I'll just say my piece. But what we're allowing is habitation in an otherwise area that's never been lived in before, you know. So to me, that's changing the character of the place. And this thing about extensions, about of course you'll get extensions. If you're allowing someone to live there in the first place, an extension coming up next year will be passed, you know, straight away. You've just changed the character of the countryside, and I'm uneasy with that.
Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just very quickly, I'd like to ask the officer a question that she may not know the answer. I take it that we give permission for this, we are giving it for a dwelling that is going to be lived in all year round. There is no suggestion that it's going to be a holiday home or a house that's going to be rented out on a holiday basis.
Thank you. Yes, the application is for a Class C3 dwelling. For normal resident occupation, it's not for a holiday chalet or a rental property, as far as we are aware. That's not what's been applied for.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton.
And just for one clarification, some of the concerns here about the setting a precedent. Within planning, is there a concept of setting a precedent? That is, if you allow one planning permission to go, then that somehow can be referred to in the future to make it easier for further construction happening elsewhere in the vicinity.
There isn't a danger that a precedent could be set, because each application is determined on its merits. As I've explained in the report, and in this case, it's an exceptional material consideration that's recommending that you grant planning permission. Normally, policies in the area are very restrictive towards new development within the countryside, and those policies are still in force and carry, you know, full weight across the Charnwood Forest.
Thank you. There are no more people that have indicated they're speaking. We've had the recommendation by Councillor Bailey to accept officer's recommendation, and Councillor Tassel has seconded it. What we will be voting on is the recommendation on page 18. It's to grant conditionally, and there are four conditions which you've all seen and agreed to, and the reason being that the development is in with the Charnwood Forest and is within open countryside, and carrying out a development of this type may create difficulties in terms of the overall field's character. Now, that's the reason. And also, we are, just to make it absolutely clear, giving permission for an open-sided porch constructed in oak and for the side dwelling. Yes.
Can I just clarify, the permission that is being sought includes the conversion.
Okay.
It includes the everything that's in front of you, because the conversion hasn't taken place yet. We've been talking about permitted development because that's a material consideration. So, in effect, the principle has been set by that. But the permission that you're granting is for the conversion as well as the alterations.
Understood, and we still agreed with the proposal and seconder. Right, could I see all those in favour, please? Against? Approval is granted. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, if we can just record the vote.
Yes?
Yep, it was 11-4 and 1 against.
When, if you're members of the speakers, if you're leaving this evening now and not carrying on, could you just sign the papers on the top there near the exit door? It's just for safety reasons, we like to record who's still with us and who's not. Thank you very much. We now move on to application. Item number two, which is on page 21 of your agenda. And we now move to the officer's report.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, item two, page 21. This is application P19-1540, relating to 88 Gracedieu Road, Loughborough. It's for a change of use from a dwelling within Class C3 to a house in multiple occupation, which comes in use Class C4. So the application site lies within the Loughborough Ashby ward and is a mid-terrace dwelling situated on the eastern side of the street. The site is within an established residential area where dwellings were first built to provide a large amount of social housing. Over the years, many dwellings have become privately owned and several have changed their use to become houses of multiple occupation to meet the rental needs of students, working professionals or other unrelated persons looking to live together in shared accommodation. So the application property is the second dwelling in from the left and the one with the white front door. You can see that the property has a driveway providing car parking for one vehicle and is bounded to the front with a hedge, behind which is a lawn. A central covered way provides shared pedestrian access to the rear. The dwelling has a ground floor and first floor layout which is not proposed to change, and there are no external alterations or extensions proposed as part of the application. The dwelling would therefore have a shared kitchen, lounge and bathroom to the ground floor and three bedrooms with a shared bathroom on the first floor. So the key points that members should consider are the principle of the development, community balance and character of the area and the other things set out on the slide. The principle of the development, starting point for decision-making, as we've seen, is all planning applications that they should be determined in accordance with the development plan unless material considerations indicate otherwise. The relevant development plan policies are set out on page 22 of your agendas. The site's located in Loughborough in an established residential area which is within walking or cycling distance of the facilities and services within the town centre, or the district centre at Gorse Covert. Bus stops are located on Schofield Road and Blackbrook Road with frequent services to the town, to Shepshed and to Leicester. And Loughborough is also considered to be an appropriate, sustainable location for housing development, and on that basis the use is considered to be acceptable in principle. In terms of the community balance and character of the area, members will be aware the councillors adopted a threshold of 20% in terms of the saturation of houses in multiple occupation within a 100 metre radius of the application site. According to the council's database, there are calculated to be 91 residential properties within that 100 metre circle, and 13 of these are known HMOs. This gives a saturation figure of 14.3%, which is well below the maximum at which unacceptable imbalances in the community are likely to occur. If we were to include the proposed HMO in the calculations, the figure would rise to 15.4%. Although there is a prospect that the threshold might be revised in the future and tightened, this carries no weight at this time, and the threshold of 20% is the relevant criteria. Noise and disturbance. In the last 12 months, there have been 14 reported incidents of antisocial behaviour on Blackbrook Road, Gracedew Road, New Ashby Road and Schofield Road, and none of these complaints related specifically to noise. Officer, consideration of noise and disturbance and impact is found on page 26 of your agenda, where it's concluded that the occupation of the property by up to six persons would be unlikely to cause significant additional noise and disturbance. In terms of bin storage, the property provides shared ground floor amenity space and a good-sized rear garden to meet the needs of its residents. Bins can be stored at the side or rear of the property. Car parking. In terms of highways and car parking, the council has adopted standards which would require the provision of two car park spaces for dwellings with three or less bedrooms. As we've seen, the property has provision to the front for one, and for the reasons set out in the officer report, it's considered that a second space isn't required here. Although members may wish to see a second space, you are invited to consider the visual impact this would have on the street scene, in terms of the loss of the hedge and the creation of a double width area of hard surfacing in combination with that which exists at the neighbouring property, as we saw on site today. Available on-street parking for other residents would also be removed with the creation of the additional dropped curbs. Officers therefore consider that there's no grounds to support a refusal of planning permission on highway safety or cumulative impact on the local network, and consider that one space would be sufficient to serve the development given its accessible location. So taking all these matters into account, it's recommended that planning permission is granted.
Thank you. Mr. Mistry, if you'd like to come to the front, please. I have explained the timing of it, and as long as you're quite happy with that, and the time will start as soon as you're ready. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I apologise if I'm unprepared. This is the first time I'm talking at any sort of such meetings. I just wanted to add to all the considerations there. I bought this property because my son is in Loughborough University, and he's going to be here for the next 4 years at least anyway. And while he wants to live there, he wanted to share with his two friends, and hence, you know, looking at all the regulations you have for this council, that requires an HMO license because there'll be three unrelated people living there. And hence, I put in the application. I'm not changing the structure of the house in any way. It's still going to be a three-bedroom house. So once my son has finished his degree course, the intention is either to sell it again and hopefully buy him a place wherever he's going to be living when he works. So, you know, the only reason I put in an application is because I would contravene your laws if I had three people living in that house that were unrelated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mistry. We now have Councillor Goddard, please. Mr. Mistry, if you'd like to take your seat back. Thank you. Councillor Goddard, you're aware of the timing system?
Yes.
And after 4 minutes, you will get my blooper going. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, so as the councillor for Ashby Ward, I have some serious concerns about this planning application. My first objection, which the officer already made some reference to, is to do with parking issues faced by residents. Parking issues that would be furthered by another HMO on Gracedieu Road. Policy CS4 of the Childhood Local Plan states that we will prevent houses in multiple occupation that generate a demand for on-street parking that would prejudice the safe operation of the highway and cause detriment to amenity. Further to this, the Highway Authority states that an application should be refused if it is a detriment to highway safety. At the current stand-in, residents have, on occasion, found themselves all but blocked into their driveways by cars on the road, often cars which appear to belong to students or visitors of the university. More seriously, the ongoing parking on both sides of the road causes issues for emergency services vehicles needing to access the street and needing to park to enter households of those in need. One resident has already faced this issue with the ambulance having to park further down the street, delaying vital treatment for her husband. Parking on this road has not only become a nuisance for residents, but it has made the highway unsafe. Another HMO here, with the potential for another four cars, this without taking into account potential visitors, will only exacerbate these ongoing issues and would further prejudice the safe operation of the highway. My second objection to this application is the risk to further loss of community and social cohesion in the area. Policy CS4 of the Borough of Childhood Local Plan talks about a key policy aim to prevent houses in multiple occupation which damage the social and physical character and amenity of a street or residential area. In short, Charnwood Borough Council has a responsibility to ensure that communities in Charnwood and Loughborough Ashby Ward are balanced and that social cohesion remains in place. Sadly, there is a feeling amongst residents that this vital aspect of community is being lost in the area due to more and more HMOs. Having spoken to my co-councillor, who has lived in the ward longer than me, has lived there for 25 years, and using our local knowledge, we have a list of houses on that street that may be HMOs. These are number 20, 24, 31, 41, 49, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 59...
Excuse me.
If you just advise, she can't be saying that...
You can't give...
Oh, OK, sorry, I wasn't aware.
Please. So no other, we are concentrating on this property. This is the only property you can talk about. You mustn't mention any other properties.
Okay, sorry, I wasn't aware of that.
Particularly that can be identified who owns them.
Okay. If I can retract that somehow. I'm sorry, I wasn't aware that I couldn't.
No, no.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Okay, so if I go back then, so sadly there is a feeling amongst residents that that cohesion has been lost with the amount of HMOs. A recent published report by Professor Darren Smith and Dr. Andreas Caloro from Loughborough University confirmed these assertions, finding that a process of studentification is occurring in Ashby Ward. Another HMO here will further erode the social cohesion in the area. Finally, I'd like to note that whilst the application does not seem to appear the 20%, appear to exceed the 20% HMO limit, the study I've just discussed states that the total percentage of HMOs in Ashby Ward is 15.3%. It is important that we remind ourselves that that HMO 20% is a limit and not a target. Other wards surrounding the university are facing this issue too. And really, we should be looking at residents' concerns here and the issues they may face as a result of HMOs or more HMOs in the area, rather than deciding if we'll face an application purely on the grounds of whether or not it exceeds that questionable limit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we open it up for discussion, the officer wish to have anything else to add? I think we, for future reference, we just concentrate on that.
Yep, sorry.
That's
my first one. I wasn't aware.
Don't worry. And also, we do understand when we're discussing HMOs, it is not just looking at it from a student or thing. As in the report, it can be other people.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with students or anything. I now open it up to discussion. Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry to see another family home becoming an HMO, but I don't believe we have any planning reasons for refusal, as even with this, we're told the percentage is 15.4%. However, I'm very concerned that there may, and I stress may, be other HMOs in this area that the council is unaware of. And if that is the case, then the situation is very different. This is an issue that is not confined to Ashby Ward, and while I don't believe it's a reason we can refuse this application, it is a wider problem that this council must address as a matter of urgency.
Thank you. Councillor Tassel.
Thank you. Well, Councillor Tillotson has said more or less what I was going to say. But the other thing is that this afternoon when we went down on the coach, it was relatively quiet. Now, I know for a fact that that road normally is parked on either side. And to get the coach through this afternoon, we did have to ask another car to move. I feel that we should ask for another parking space on that property. Not to take down the whole of the hedge, but to take down part of it to allow access. And then I feel that we should go with the officer's recommendation with that one condition on it. Thank you.
Councillor Tassel, are you asking that to be put in as a condition? I don't think we can. I mean, we'd have to say a bit more than part of the hedge, I feel, because the officer will come in and guide me, because that would require a different approval.
Yeah, I think it's important to say we know that putting in an extra car parking space would necessitate at least some of the removal of that hedge. Now, you can do that, but what I can't do is say that they have to retain the hedge, because they could remove the hedge anyway. It's outside of this local, this plans committee's control. They're not proposing to, but as you've seen along that street, there's nothing to stop homeowners removing their hedges. So what you're actually considering, I think, and members need to consider, is whether you want to see a condition that would require them to create off-road parking for two vehicles, or whether you're happy with off-road parking for one vehicle. The highway standards for a house of this size would be two parking spaces, but obviously there's other considerations. So that's in your gift, but you can't stop them removing the hedge, but you do have to recognise that decision would inevitably lead to the loss of at least some of the hedge.
Can I come back then, please?
Yeah.
I would like to put forward a recommendation that two parking spaces be available at this property.
Do I have a second?
Is that all right?
Councillor Bailey.
And I also go with officer's recommendation on this. For granting permission. I can't see any reason to refuse it at all. It's not going to be changed. The son is going to be living there, so hopefully he's a responsible person and can keep an eye on it, as it's his father's property. I can't see any reason for refusal. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Tassel. We now have Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. I am going to support officer's recommendation, but I can't support the two parking spaces, so I don't know how you're going to work that. And the reason I can't support the two parking spaces is because I drove down here the other day, and it was absolutely fine. There was no problem at all. Just because it's going to have an HMO doesn't mean it's going to have less cars than before it had an HMO. I used to live at home with my parents, and we had five cars sitting on the front of a three-bedroom house. It doesn't mean it needs more parking spaces. But if I can just ask a question of the officers, the first speaker suggested that he was only going to use this as a HMO temporary. Can, as it's a licence we're granting, can that be a temporary licence?
We're not providing the licence. This isn't the licensing committee. What we're doing is providing the change of use, so the lawful change of use of the property. So it's not a temporary. That's not what that's been required. That's not what's been applied for. It's changing the use of the property from a C3 dwelling to a C4 dwelling. And so that's what's in front of you. We can't make that temporary.
I understood it was a licence, so you know I'm sorry there. The only other thing I would like to add is I think Councillor Goddard did a good job speaking to us, Chair. It's never easy to speak at a Plans Committee because everybody's really quiet, scary. But I think she did a good job, so I'd like to congratulate her.
Councillor Snart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Through you, if I could just ask officers, it comes up time and time again about this saturation and the figures we do give. Could I just ask officers, how confident are we that this 14.3% that we've got here, and how do we calculate that? It seems always that we come to these and there seems quite a lot of conflict in terms of what is perceived and what we actually say. I now understand that we may well be changing the way we do this, but at the end of the day, we're doing this at the moment. How confident are we that this 14.3 is the correct figure?
So the database we use is a database that we've spent a lot of time pulling together. It was done in conjunction with the PhD researchers that was mentioned, and it uses the database from the university, our own information that the university hold, the council hold, and it also went out to the Residents Association, and it was a very large piece of work. It's the most reliable database that we hold, and we are very confident. And any reports that we get of properties that are being used as HMOs that we're not aware of, we investigate, and if it's found to be the case, they're added into the database. So it's continually being updated as well. So it is, you know, as reliable as we can make it.
Quickly come back and say, because it is an issue that comes up, Madam Chairman, quite a bit. Do the officers know the process, that if somebody is saying that this is an HMO, can they actually report it to the council, and how do they do that?
Yes, so reports of properties being used as HMOs now come through two different sources. If it's a HMO for five people or more, it may come through our licensing team, and we share that data between the different departments. If it's it could also come through planning, which is obviously anything over three unrelated people, and then we'll share that vice versa if it's something that requires a license. If it comes into planning, then it'll be investigated by our planning enforcement team. If it's something that requires planning permission, then we will invite an application. Or if it's something that's been going for a considerable number of years, for example, before the Article 4 was introduced, when it required planning permission, we'll invite a certificate of lawful use, and that's how we work it.
And Chairman, I think that was useful, because the councillor now knows how to actually go ahead and look at that situation. The only other thing I say, and I don't think there's anything, I'd go with officer's recommendation, but it always concerned to me that when we're looking at the rates of antisocial behaviour and such, it seems again in conflict with what's on the ground. And I do actually say to everybody, do report antisocial behaviour, and do make sure, because it does make a difference in terms of how we actually look at these things. And I don't think at the moment there is anything there in the report, and I think we have to go with officer recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Excuse me. We all seem to have got frogs in our throats tonight. I won't be supporting this application. I am really concerned to see yet another former local authority house being turned into a house in multiple occupation. That is a good family house, and it distresses me to see it in multiple occupation. Councillor Goddard started to read out a list of numbers and was stopped, and I understand why she was stopped, but what she was actually doing was telling me what I really did want to know, which is how many houses in multiple occupation there are on Grace Dew Road. I don't want to know how many within 100 metres that includes Schofield Road or New Ashby Road. I want, when we have these applications before us, I want to know how many houses are there in multiple occupation on a particular road, because it's only when we know those figures that we actually have a realistic idea of what is happening on the ground. And I support Councillor Snart's reference to antisocial behaviour in the area. 14 incidents over the last year, and that will only be the surface. There will have been more. And on page 27, it says, however, it is not possible to identify that student behaviour was the primary aggravating factor. Well, I don't think that anybody is always blaming the students. There are houses in multiple occupation that don't have any students at all. They are young professionals, etc. I can't support it. I just can't support it. Sorry.
Thank you, Councillor Forrest. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with Councillor Forrest, absolutely spot on. I've lived on the area for 60 years, seen it go from lovely family houses where kids could play and where kids left the parents and got a council house. I've got a granddaughter now that's moved from Wordsworth Road, got a fiancé, and she's had to get a one-bedroom flat in Shepshed because there's no family houses available in the area she was grew up in. So, and Councillor Lowe said that the road he went up was nice and easy, but if you went there at 9 o'clock in the morning when the school kids were parking, you can't move up that road. So I can't support it either, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton.
I've got a question for officers, and it's kind of related to what Councillor Lowe was asking. It's about what happens if you reclassify a property from Class 3 to Class 4. Now, we know in this specific circumstance, we heard there's a stated intention to sell it within a few years. If it's sold within a few years, who do they sell it to? If a family then moves in, does it then lose its Class 4 status? And then how do you know that? It's just, how easy is it to revert back to Class 3?
Okay. The Article 4 that was introduced, so normally you wouldn't need planning permission to move between Class 3 and Class 4. It's permitted development, you can move between the two. The Council introduced Article 4 just for the Loughborough area, so not for the rest of the borough. That means that to change from C3 to C4, you need planning permission, but you can go back to C3 without planning permission, and that's it, they've lost their use. So if at a later date, once it's been converted back to a C3, the third owner wants to take it back to a C4, it would require planning permission. But you only need it in that one direction. You can actually go back to C3 without any planning consent at all. It's classed as permitted development.
Just a follow-up to that. I don't know if you could answer this, but if something is granted Class 4, then is it in the interest to keep it as Class 4 because it's of a higher value than a Class 3 in the market? I have no idea. I have no idea of the answer to that.
It's value of land and property isn't a material planning consideration, so it's not something the committee should be taking into account.
Thank you, everybody. I've got a bit of a complication here. So we have a proposal by Councillor Tillotson that to accept officer's recommendation, but it was seconded by Councillor Tass, proposed by Councillor Tillotson.
And then you proposed an amendment which was seconded by Councillor
Bailey. So we take
Bailey second Tass's amendment or recommendation as well. Okay.
So. This was going to be such a simple meeting. We have accept officer's recommendation by Councillor Tassel, seconded by Councillor Bailey, with a proposed amendment to ask to include extra parking.
It would be the recommendation was for an additional condition that required two parking spaces to be provided before the use commenced. Is that correct? Or changed?
How everybody understands it.
That's
so we now vote on that proposal with the added condition that two car parking places be provided. Can I see a show of hands? Sorry, Councillor Grimley.
Did the proposed and seconder agree to that condition?
Yes.
It did. Okay, I'm a bit confused with the other ones. Councillor Lowe as well.
Right. So is everybody clear what we're voting for? So could I have a show of hands to that to go with officers' recommendation subject to an extra condition that there should be two car parking spaces and not one. Show of hands, please. Okay. All right.
Can we do it again, sir? We're missing. We have to write it about life. Seven.
Thank you. Thank you. All those against? Abstentions? Two. Thank you. So it has been passed to accept officer's recommendation, subject to an added condition. So we've already got two conditions on page 29. Subject to condition 3, that two car parking spaces should be provided. Agreed? Thank you. Thank you very much. Now move on to item... Item 5. The last item on the agenda, which commences on page 32... which is delegated planning decisions made by Charnwell Borough Council since the last Plans Committee report, which was on the 22nd of August. I hope you've all had a chance to go through these. This is normally just for noting, but if anybody's got any questions, please indicate. No? Everybody okay? Oh, Councillor Campbell. What page are you looking at, Kent? One certificate of lawful notice. Cotswold Closer Unit. Yeah. Page 5 of 19. And the other one you were saying? That's a certificate of lawfulness at the university. Well, if it's on the university, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Okay, any other questions or points to bring? Right, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much for attending. Our next meeting, you will be informed. But also, everybody, I hope you have a safe journey home and that the traffic is clearer. Thank you.